participation portion of the meeting will not be available on our live stream. A recording, however, of public comments will be available on the district's website tomorrow. Mrs. Volk, is there anyone who would like to make public comments?
Bob Dobak.
Bob, please.
A little unorthodox.
Bob, I want
you to see this, please.
But if you don't step up to the mic, no one's going to... We won't have any recording at all. There'll be nothing.
I don't care about the recording right now. I'll get there. I just want you
Bob,
to see.
I need you to go to the mic.
And I will.
Bob, I'm going to ask you one more time to please go to the mic. That's how you're going to get your message communicated with you. Trust me, that's how it's going to work.
Sure.
We're going to see it, Bob. Please. We will see it.
And what are you going to see it afterward?
Please go to the podium. And you can show it. And you can speak.
What I wanted people to see is a picture of my one-year-old grandson. When my one-year-old grandson had his measles, mumps, and rubella shot, he had a severe reaction to it. It's only 1.6 out of 100,000, so it happened to be R1 out of 100,000. And what ended up happening was his immune system attacked his blood platelets to the point where he had almost none. He was bleeding out. His skin was keeping the blood from leaving his body, and if he had been cut, he could have bled to death. So he ended up over at CDH, which is a tremendous place to go. It got down to they had three things they could do. They did two things that wasn't helping. Got down to the third day. In the morning, I went over to St. Petronell, 6:15 Mass. I didn't participate in the Mass. I got on my knees, and I wept. And I pleaded with God to take me and spare my grandson. Later in the day, I went with a friend of mine to the Baha'i House of Worship. God is in every house of worship. I don't care if it's a mosque, a temple, a church, a... So we went there, and immediately I just went out. I fell asleep. I woke up, and there was a voice that said, "He will be okay." And me, not being too bright, said, "What?" And the voice said, "He will be okay." By the time I got home, I got the message that the third treatment was working, and fortunately, he's alive and doing well. But this is one of the issues with vaccines that can happen. You can bet that he's not going to get a COVID vaccine when there are still zero deaths in DuPage County for anybody under the age of 20. All I'm asking you is don't push the vaccines within the district. Let people make up their own minds. Don't force people to have to do this. If my kids or grandkids had been in and were forced to do this, there would have been holy you-know-what to pay for this. So, again, it was a really difficult situation to go through, and I just wanted to make sure to relay that to you so that you think about these. There are issues on both sides, and I am not a person that will say don't get vaccinated. Vaccines are great, but you have to weigh things according to your beliefs and understand that in the community that we all have our own beliefs and those need to be respected. So please don't force kids to get vaccines to participate in things. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad your grandson is doing so much better. Thank you.
Stephanie Jean Curran. Quoting a great lady, normal adults don't tell kids to keep secrets from their parents. Normal adults have no inclination to talk to 5 to 9-year-old kids who are not their children about sex and gender switching. Perverts and predators do. Also, tampon machines in boys' washrooms, why? Schools are about education, not indoctrination. Stop using kids as props. Destabilizing children, that's exactly what you guys are doing by doing this other stuff. China is teaching their kids, quantum calculus while America is teaching our kids gender pronouns and how to twerk from a drag queen, this isn't going to end well. Quoting a dad, I don't co-parent with the government, unions, and schools, etc. My daughter doesn't need big government's advice on medicine, sexuality, and her value based on skin color or anything else. She's not your child, she's mine. You have no right to teach this in schools. Like, are you kidding me? All this other stuff that you're teaching? Teach reading, math, science, and yes, history too. We have learned from the past and grown. Let's move forward. You're teaching the kids to go backwards with all this CRT and whatever you want to call it. And where's all the money that you schools have received? Endless real estate tax money to schools, plus all the money you have gotten from COVID rules and mandates, lots of money per child. Where is it? Where have you spent it? Who did you give it to? It's in whose pocket? Are the speakers like me really being recorded? I sure hope so, because in the past we were not. We were blaming it on YouTube. I should say not we, you guys were. Can others hear us? Have the opportunity to listen to speakers, even if they're not here? And why only 3 minutes to speak? Sometimes there's only one, two, or three speakers. Sometimes there might be 10. Why only 3 minutes? And why don't you respond to the speakers? Why do you just sit there? And then, speaking of what I heard at the beginning of this, what about security guards with guns to protect the kids? We all know that when the police is called, it could take a couple minutes, it could take 5 minutes, and then lots of kids, lots of teachers could already be dead. When are you guys going to get security guards with guns to be in these schools? Do we know how important it is? Yeah, we do.
Thank you. This is not.
May I
have?
Sorry.
Do I have to push the button or no?
If it's not green, you do.
All right, it's great. So I just want to start by saying thanks for trying to address the kindergarten issue and our school capacity issue. So I apologize.
Can't hear you.
You can't?
No.
I just want to applaud you for.
She's fine. Your mic is working.
I just want to applaud you for trying to address the situation. I think where my concern comes from is I listened into the board meeting last time because I wanted to see where we were with solving it. And I didn't realize we were to the point where we were solving it. And so talking across the community, most people, I don't feel like most people are aware of like what's actually coming. So I looked at some of the stats of the data that was received, and I feel like as a representation of the whole community, I don't know if we have a full response yet from maybe even the parents that attend the school or the community in and of itself to actually fully make a decision yet. So I don't know if I'm pro or against the vote, but I just feel like we don't have everyone's opinions there yet. So, and my questions, I guess, on the current, because I think we are to the point of a decision, is I don't know if everyone was fully aware of rezoning and rezoning of all four school districts of some way, shape, or form. I'd be interested to know how much additional busing it is probably from each zone, what your future plan is to communicate to the whole community between now and November with the rezoning restrictions and what's going to happen. And then I would like clarification on how it's legally worded of alter and repair and construct, if any actual construction will be done at any of the four schools to actually build out to fit kindergarten, or if it'll all be rezoning so that kindergarten can fit in the current facilities plus solving. So I guess those are my questions. I don't know when answers come, but those are my questions. Thanks.
Amy Berry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy Berry. Mine will be short and sweet. I don't have any prepared comments, just here to support other people in the community. But to echo Megan, I think I've also had a lot of conversations. I think there's a lot of questions around Did we really talk to enough of the community? I know it's difficult to get people to respond, so not saying anyone didn't do their job. Sometimes people just don't respond well. But what other more creative ways can you take to capture the attention of individuals? I'll throw out an example. The Glen Ellyn Park District, when they were passing their referendum, I saw posters, things came across my social media feed. I mean, it was literally everywhere and in my face. I knew exactly what was happening at every facility, how much money was going to everything, so I could look at it and say, yep, I support that, or no, I don't. So I think a lot of work needs to be done there, because some people might approve of expansion, some people might not want to do rezoning. Some people want, like, we need to know more. And so I think to get to the point that we are, the statement that you've read, if I just read that on the ballot, I have no idea what that means, to be honest. So as much upfront work that can be done, so we are making educated decisions. I think we all support expansion. We all know that it is needed. We know that we need to do something. I think there's a lot of questions on the how to make sure we're appropriately getting there.
Thank you.
And that's
very
it.
Much.
Maggie Moyer.
Okay. I'm sorry, Nancy.
Hi, I'm Maggie Moyer, and I also am just here to reiterate that we moved here a year ago, and we're in the Forest Glen District, and it's been wonderful. I luckily was able to become part of the PTA. I met a lot of great people. So coming from that side of just not being a parent, but also being on the PTA side, I feel like this is kind of not advertised, personally. I agree with the park district. I feel like you went everywhere in Glen Ellyn. It was at the library. It was at the gym. It was like an every street sign. And we're talking more and more now that school's starting. And a lot of the community had no idea about this. I feel like the last one was right before or after 4th of July. And I think all of us with kids were, you know, at party, you know, just doing summer stuff. And I think it was kind of like we weren't paying attention to it. And my last question is, I know that we were at like 750 people were surveyed. What is that the percent of Glen Ellyn? Because I feel like that would be a really small number, and we would really, I feel like, need to hear more people in the community to go and spend close to $50 million in any capacity. And again, I'm for all of it. I just need more information. I think also the community might have better ideas of kind of figuring different ideas out, and listening to us might be helpful. I know other schools, you know, just different things, but I feel like we're kind of blindsided a little bit. And I am speaking just as, you know, a Forest Glen parent, being part of the PTA, but really, I feel like nothing was really on the radar. I feel like principals at the end of the year could have put that in their email, and just not like, hey, we're having a board meeting. It's like, hey, important board meeting. People and community, let's go, you know, or something along those lines. So, again, we appreciate everything you guys do. It's been a couple of crazy years. We're super happy to move here. But, yes, I'm excited about the Park District. I just hope we can kind of go back a little bit and maybe try to gather community a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you. So
Laura
is,
Miller.
Before you, Melissa has asked, because we think this would be one of those exceptions where some information would be helpful for the community, and she'd like to respond to some of the questions about gathering information and process. So,
So, and you can jump in if you want to add any figures to this, but understand what leads up today with the community engagement is really to just take a pulse. We know that it's a very small percentage of the community. Actually, our input is much higher than some districts surrounding us who have recently passed referendum. Today's vote is literally just to approve whether it goes on the ballot. So what happens, you know, the board doesn't vote for the referendum or against the referendum. their action is just to put the question on the ballot so the community could vote. But between this point, when the board decides to put the ballot question on, there's traffic studies that get released, the rezoning plan will be released, renderings of the building will be shown. So everything that Park District did to say, here's exactly what you can expect, you know, you are correct, it touches all four of our elementary buildings, so in order to make the space available at the elementaries, you have to siphon enough students off of each elementary school to construct that fifth. When we first went into this process, the fifth elementary school was not where our thinking was, just based on prior years of input to the district. So that really kind of came to the top based on that community feedback. And so it's E.O. Sullivan's job then to look at the data and say, you know, that we have data from seniors, you know, that we have representative groups across the voters that feed into our district. But it does not at all, you know, what the board is doing is just crafting the question based on the feedback that's been given. And then before you would ask anyone to go to the ballot box, the how, what would this look like, you know, how does this impact traffic, egress in and out of the building at Churchill, you know, what it does to that campus, what the new campus layout would look like, all of that gets released. As a district, we don't spend money on all of that because it does cost money. So if the board would say, you know what, we're not going to do the question, you know, or we are going to put it on the ballot, then we commission those things and all of that gets shared before you ask anybody to go, you know, to the election, whether it's November or whether it's April. So same process the Park District uses. It starts with just the decision of does the question go on the ballot or not. And then if the board decides that it does, then you do all of those next steps.
Can I
have a
follow-up?
Let me briefly kind of touch on some of the concerns that I heard, obviously on the process. When you think of the amount of data that we received, different tracks of data that we used, people that came into meetings that we call the passionate data, those that take their time on a Saturday or an evening or online on the various meetings that we had, we call that a passionate response. We had a community committee that was broad representative of a representation of the community that would meet three times in a couple different phases to listen to kind of the challenges that took place and some of the potential solutions. So that was more of our learned response. They actually get to listen, ask questions, a little more detail and time. And then our last way we gather data was what we call the intuitive response. That would be two phone surveys that took place. Once again, the demographics of the community were representative. So you wouldn't want to go out to the community and just talk to people that have children in the district or younger people that are going to benefit from a potential referendum or younger parents with younger kids. So it was representative of the entire district. And if anyone would like to see the data, I know that the district has that data. But I can tell you from running 16 community engagement and referendums since 2018, this is some of the highest data points that we've gotten back. Think about it this way, from the surveys, like a poll, if you will. So if you get called to take a poll for a presidential candidate or a gubernatorial candidate, I was a former state legislator. If I got 150 to 200 responses in one of my polls with 100,000 people in the district, we thought that was very good data. So what is the margin of error, MOE? We received 500 and some odd responses for this district for the survey, and so the margin of error is under 4, which is tremendous data. And so that's the way you kind of look at where the data came from. Also think about a representative democracy. How many people vote? And so a lot of the decisions sometimes, you know, are lower end because not that many people get out and vote. You're never going to get 100% of the folks to vote on this. But what we're doing is we're putting something on the ballot for, or potentially, they have to vote, obviously. And then what happens next? And I know the question was asked, and I'm going to get into that in a presentation should the board vote to go forward. But there's two tracks. There's an educational track that the government does. And then there's a political track that is a campaign. The government can't get involved with the campaign. And that's some of the things we'll talk about. But the district already has a document that we gave to them on what they should be doing to make sure the public knows exactly what they're voting for. That is the education campaign. That is something the district absolutely can do. There will be a group of concerned residents that will form a political committee, and they will go forward and they will push the referendum. They will say, hey, can you go vote for this? There'll be signs. There'll be, think about anything that you've ever encountered in a political campaign. That's what will be brought to the table. So it won't be, a group of parents sitting in a corner saying, hey, how do we get out there and rah-rah get this passed? This is going to be a political campaign that's run by professionals. So another company will take over that's been running campaigns for the better part of 12 years. So hopefully that explains a little bit. I'll go into a little bit more detail with the board a little bit later.
Thank you, Ed. All right, Mrs. Miller.
Laura Miller.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Please.
Push it. Yeah? Okay. Hi. Well, that's a lot of new information. Well, not new information, but clarification. I want to echo everybody. Thank you. Seemingly thorough in your ways. Thank you for everything you all have been doing. Really appreciate it. I would echo some of what's been said, however, because it's still a big yes or no decision. And I know that based on the 500 or some more data points that you gathered, which request from the group, we would like to see the data, if you don't mind sharing. It feels like, are we still sure that that's the right decision? And should we get a good representation and understand, the different options? I've read and heard about offer options, and I'm not totally positive based on what you read. I think that's option four. But the point is, I'm trying to be informed, and I still don't totally know. And so I think this is something that could impact almost every single child in our district or those that participate in our district in this way, in which case, going to something that this particular solution will impact everybody, by the way. I think slowing down, informing more of our constituents on the different options and getting more feedback on it is helpful. That way the yes or no is the one that's most likely to work, because I do agree, all day kindergarten is a problem, these are things we want to solve, but with more time and more input, the right thing will go on the ballot so that it passes and it's what we all want, or is best for our community and our children. I also, in case I don't get the microphone ever again, think it's super important to grandfather and parents and families that are already into a school. As somebody that has kids and four kids in four schools, it's really, really hard, and it cuts down on the kids and their families and all of that. It's just not good for anybody. People in the audience also want to know, is there still an opportunity to vote on the how? I agree. I think that there's also a ton of expense to go into this yes or no. Let's make sure it's the most responsible thing that's going to pass when we spend all that money that we just talked about, which is a ton to get done in 2 months and a lot of money to spend. Let's spend on the thing that's going to pass. Also, people don't answer phone numbers. I'm sure you take this into consideration in your work, that they don't know, and making sure, how can you possibly be informed on so much information when you're called and ask these questions and be able to vote for the best possible thing? That's what I've got. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jan Laskowitz.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I concur with what Stephanie said, so I don't need to repeat it, so I'll make this kind of short and sweet. I received this in the mail. I don't know how many people have received it. I talked to a couple people today who live in the community. They did not receive it. So how did they decide who received it, who did not receive it? And I'm concerned about it. From an educator of 33 years, I've never seen anything quite like this. This is quite almost it's like, it's glossy, it's pretty, it's languagey, but it's not really, what's the purpose of it? I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the part that says one of the most important things that apparently in this book is social and emotional learning, which is nothing other than critical race theory. Critical race theory, I know it is. I'm an educator. I've done a lot of homework on this. And I just think we have to be very, very, very careful about critical race theory, social emotional learning. It's all the same thing under a different name, just kind of glossed over. We don't want to confuse children. We don't want to, it's up to a parent to help them kind of direct them as a person, their person, not for educators, teachers, principals, board of education. You have to represent the whole community, and the whole community doesn't think the way all of you think. All of you think may not be the same as some of the people in this room think. So you have to be very cognizant of what's good for the kid. The other thing that's very concerning, it's not necessarily in here, is that sex education has become very perverted. I'm going to just say it out loud. There's visual pictures. We showed you this last year in one of the meetings. And, you know, boy-on-boy sex, girl-on-girl sex, girl-with-boy sex, how to masturbate. Parents, you should be concerned because you don't know what's in these textbooks. I think we should see all what's in these books and all the learning materials. I personally would like to go through everything. But, you know, I think you need to have, you have to inform people. And this gender confusion, what's your pronoun, and all this nonsense, this has got to stop. Concentrate on the core subjects, period.
Thank you. This is up.
That's it.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone.